each other's arms. I could have said I love you, could have wrote you a line or two. Baby, all I know to do is speak right from the heart. You'll be my soft and sweet, I'll be your strong and steady. You'll be my glass of wine, I'll be your shot of whiskey. You'll be my sunny day, I'll be your shade tree. You'll be my honeysuckle, I'll be your honeybee. You'll be my Louisiana, I'll be your Mississippi. You'll be my little Loretta, I'll be your Conway Twitty. You'll be my sugar baby, and I'll be your sweet iced tea. You'll be my honeysuckle, and I'll be your honeybee.
All right, guys, welcome back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. Normally, my show is from 11 to noon, but this morning we had a little bit of some complications with our technology, so I ended up fixing everything, which was great, and now here I am, a little later than usual, but I'm sure you guys are still thrilled that I made my debut. JK, JK, just kidding. Anyway, I figured I would start off the show with a really interesting story, and actually something kind of surprising, but at the same time not really when you think about it. Have any of you ever realized that when you go into a restroom, there is a changing table? Most women's restrooms have changing tables, if not all women's restrooms have changing tables. But I'm sure that you would be surprised, or maybe not so surprised, to hear that men's restrooms don't have changing tables, which, if you think about it, is a little inconvenient and somewhat sexist to assume that only women will change diapers. I'm pretty sure there are plenty of men out there that can attest that they have indeed changed a couple diapers, if not actually had accidents happen while they changed the diapers. Kind of comes with the territory of when you're a parent and when you have kids. But believe it or not, Ashton Kutcher started this. Well, he didn't really start it. I'm not quite sure who started it, because I know that I've heard about the issue beforehand, but I know that I've seen online, especially, Ashton Kutcher has been a really big social media advocate for changing table equality, I guess you could say. He was a little upset when he went into a men's restroom and saw that there wasn't a changing table for him to change his kid. If you guys do not know, Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis got together and had a baby. I'm not even kidding. This is real life. I was so excited when I heard about this, because I was actually a fan of the That's So 70s show. I was confusing it with another title. But anyway, I actually liked watching that every now and then when I was little. I thought they were pretty funny, although I didn't really understand the innuendo. And I definitely never understood why they all huddled around in a circle in the basement filled with smoke. But now in hindsight that I'm older, I can kind of, you know, decipher that a little differently. But I liked their show. It was funny. I found them humorous. And Mila Kunis and Ashton Kutcher had a baby together not too long ago. And Ashton couldn't change his child's diaper because there weren't any men's bathrooms that had a changing table. So he got online and he started posting a lot of stuff about it. And recently now, there have been people signing a petition to have men's bathrooms put in changing tables. So a little weird news of the day. If you guys are interested in that, I would highly recommend that you go on Google and look that up. I definitely think that men should be able to change their baby's diapers. And like I said, I believe it's a little bit sexist to believe that only women will do that. I mean, there people nowadays, people have two dads. What are those two dads going to do? I guess one dad can hold the baby while the other dad changes his diaper. But I mean, it's really ridiculous. It should be convenient and easy for any parent to change their child's diaper. So, like I said, and in terms of that too, going along kind of with that theme, there was a story not too long ago that came out online that I saw, and it was posted by the Today. The Today Show covered it, which is an early morning like talk show. They talk about, you know, hard news, entertainment news, just really anything that, you know, tickles their fancy and catches their eye. And their headline said, "Sign banning boys over six from ladies' room sparks debate." Now, I know that it's a little weird because right now I was just saying, oh my God, like men should be able to have changing tables in their bathrooms, and this is kind of different. When I was reading the article, I realized that it had to do with little boys going into women's restrooms. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen when you go into a women's restroom, at times parents or mothers bring in their children with them because, I mean, obviously they're not going to leave a little 4 or 5 year old boy outside of a restroom by themselves. If they need to go to the bathroom, they're going to come in. And when I would go shopping with my tia, she would go, my aunt, tia means aunt in Spanish. When I would go shopping with my tia, she would go and bring my little cousin, and Lorenzo would just come on inside with us. I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal. Like, she went to the bathroom, he waited with me, or I went to the bathroom, and sometimes we both had to go to the bathroom, and he would just wait for us right outside. And it was totally fine. No one ever said anything. But I guess what had happened was that this one person, you know, brought to the attention of this establishment, like, you know, there should be a problem. You know, you should fix this. There shouldn't be little kids, little boys running around in women's restrooms. And the article said, you know, like, when is it okay? When is it okay to let a boy go inside? And when is it not okay? When should little boys stop doing that? So this whole controversy actually started in a mall in Oklahoma. And the Oklahoma mall had actually put a sign outside of the women's restroom that said, "Please, boys over 6 years of age, use men's restroom. Thank you." So I was just a little put off by that. I mean, maybe I've watched too much Law and Order, Criminal Minds. I mean, I'm not going to lie, I'm advocates for those shows. I love those shows. Maybe I've watched a little bit too much, but I would not let my young son go into a public restroom with older men without me there, or without my husband there. I mean, that wouldn't work out for me. I'm not feeling that. And to be honest, I don't know anybody else that would. I mean, would you tell a little girl to go into a girl's restroom by herself without anyone there? And if you say yes, think about this. Think about whether or not you're thinking of, like, oh, a girl can go into a girl's restroom and a boy can go into a boy's. Oh, that's no big deal. I mean, really, it should be equally dangerous for whether a little boy or a little girl to go into a bathroom by themselves. Bathrooms are public yet private when you're outside of your home. Strangely enough, they're public because anyone can go in them, whether they are a good person, whether they are a bad person, whether they have, you know, malice in their hearts, or whether or not they're pure-hearted people. They can go into the restroom, but they're also private because you have stalls. So anything can happen while you're in one of the public restrooms. I personally believe that, you know, if your kid is like 10 or, you know, 9, 8 maybe, okay, maybe not, you know, but 6 is still really young. I feel like at 6, you're probably still in kindergarten or first grade. I wouldn't send a first grader to go into the bathroom by themselves. So that's just my opinion. A lot of people got very, very angry at this Oklahoma mall. And hundreds of people have actually left messages in response to the photo of the sign that was posted outside of the bathroom. And you can actually look at it. They have a Facebook page called Oklahoma City Mom Blog. And that page actually went viral with it. A lot of people were like saying, you know what? Like, this isn't safe. They just wouldn't feel comfortable sending a little boy into a men's restroom by himself. I mean, if there's no father around or no like older relative that can go in and escort them and make sure that nothing's going to happen. You're supposed to protect your children at any age. And actually one woman wrote, "Way too young to go alone anywhere. We have to protect our children at any age," which I believe this is true. And it, like I said, it went viral. Another person had posted it, or this blog was called Rio Grande Valley Moms Blog. And they posted it and asked what other people had thought. Again, like I said, some people thought it was okay. Some people thought it wasn't. Really just kind of depends on your personal opinion, I suppose. But I really don't think that I would let that fly. I'm pretty sure I've always been really protective. And like I said, I grew up watching my aunt's kids. And I would never let that. And if anyone tried to tell me, like, oh, no, you can't bring your son in, I would probably laugh in their face and say, watch me. Because they're not going to go into the bathroom by themselves without, you know, supervision. You don't know what's going to happen. But anyway, enough about that. I ranted all enough about my personal opinion on that. Something else that I wanted to go and talk about and bring up was last week I spoke about the police officer from the San Jose PD who was unfortunately murdered. He was killed while in action. He was killed on duty. And they actually had his memorial this morning. I was watching a little snippet beforehand with one of the, I don't know if it was a lieutenant or captain. I missed the very, very beginning of the press conference, you know, where they introduce who's coming and who's talking and blah, blah, blah. But I caught part of it, which was nice. And it looked really, really lovely. It looked really nice. It looked really well put out. And unfortunately, when I did watch the press release, though, a news reporter, you know, the people that go to the press releases and ask questions, shout them really at the people that are speaking. This reporter had gone and shouted, you know, do you think this is going to affect how people, or if people will want to apply, or if people will want to work with the police department? Or I couldn't really hear her because, like I said, they just shout out their questions. But it was something along those lines. And the police officer that was responding was just like, you know what? It kind of comes with the territory. Unfortunately, this is one of the bad things and this is the worst thing that can happen. But it also keeps in mind and holds true that you need to be prepared for anything. You really need to be on your toes when this comes out, or like when you want to go and apply for a police job, because you don't know what's going to happen at any point in time. So if you're interested in being a cop, you need to kind of be realistic with yourself. Like, yes, this is a job. Yes, I'm helping the community. But at the same time, like, I am risking my life. And there is a chance that my family, my loved ones can live without me because of what I'm doing. So I liked how he answered it, because I don't think that we as a community should let one or two or three, or I mean, there have been a lot of cop deaths recently, especially after all of the movements that have been occurring with all the deaths that have been happening in the African-American community with, you know, Trayvon Martin and, oh my gosh, I just forgot his name. He just passed away this past summer from New York. Oh, I'll have to remember that and get back to you guys. Oh, I forgot. It literally slipped. That's funny, because I actually just wrote a paper about it not too long ago. But anyway, you know, even with all of these like controversial issues that have been going on, I think it was very well handled. And I like how, like I said, how the cop answered, because he's being real. He was like, you know what? This is reality. This is sometimes the reality that we're faced with. It's not the reality that we like. It's not the reality that we want, but it is something that we have to deal with, and we do it to the best of our ability, and we are willing to put ourselves out to protect others. I mean, this cop went to go and do a house check on this old man, and this older man, you know, shot at him and unfortunately killed the cop. And I don't know if this had come out either before or after my radio show from last week, but it was discovered that the man who shot and killed, I can't remember his first name, but his last name was Dunham. I believe he was like 59 years old. He was actually suffering from COPD, which is a pulmonary disease. And it's permanent. You can't really do anything about it. And from what I read, it's very difficult to breathe. You have to have one of those gas or oxygen tanks with you at all times, because you wear a mask, and it can be very tedious. And I'm sure that, you know, at 59 years old, having lost his job, having failing health, it must have been a lot to take in. But anyway, so that memorial was held this morning. I'm sure that if you tune into the news tonight, there will be some more news covered and maybe even some images shown from the memorial itself. What I also really liked about it was that it was open to the public. I can definitely say that if I was not here in San Rafael in Marin County right now, I would have loved to go. Just because I think it's really important to show your support and your condolences to people, especially in like big tragic events like this. But anyway, on that note, I think we can take a quick little break next, and then when we come back, we'll talk about some more stuff. Not quite sure what I'll hit you with, but I do want to talk about something that I thought was funny and entertainment news related. We all know that April Fool's Day was yesterday, and Rihanna played quite the good April Fool's joke on Jimmy Kimmel. So that was really funny, and I'll talk to you guys about that when we come back. So stay tuned, and like I said, you're listening to News Power Hour with DJ PBR, normally from 11 to noon, but right now from 12:30-ish. Actually, it was actually like 12:15. From 12:15-ish to 1. So yeah, stay tuned, radio.dominican.edu.
Baby. cottonwood falling like snow in July. Sunset, riverside, four-wheel drives in a taillight circle. Roll down the windows, turn it on up. Pour a little Crown in a Dixie cup. Get the party started. Girl, you make my speakers go boom, boom. Dancing on the tailgate.
All right, guys, we're back. I'm not quite sure why the music just turned off. That was kind of weird and unexpected and kind of ruined our groove, I think, but that's okay. We are going to go and talk about something else. Like I said, I was going to go and tell you a little bit about Jimmy Kimmel and what happened when Rihanna decided to go and play an April Fool's joke on him. So I guess, well, like I said, yesterday was April Fool's, and I was watching the video, and Rihanna and like her team or her entourage or whatever go in with the producers and the executive producers of the show itself. They sneak into Jimmy Kimmel's house while he's sleeping at like 1 o'clock in the morning. And I don't know if you guys have heard the song or if I'm even allowed to say the word, but Rihanna has a new song called "Be Better Have My Money." I won't say the word because I don't want to get in trouble. You guys can, you know, make your own assumptions and have your own ideas as to what it what it means or what she's talking about. But she literally walks into his room at 1 in the morning, and a stereo starts blaring this super loud track, and she starts singing and dancing. She showers Jimmy Kimmel with money. She threw money all over him as he lay in bed, and he woke up wondering like what is happening. And then when she actually goes and starts jumping on his bed itself, and he's very confused. When the music is finally over and done with, he mumbles, "I have my mouth guard in," and then he takes it out and he's like, "Oh my god, this is really good. This is good." And then they showed, like, after a couple minutes, they cut to another clip of him talking and being like, "Wow, like I wasn't expecting this." And it was quite the early April Fool's joke. I think it might have been the first April Fool's joke of the day because, like I said, she woke him up at like 1 in the morning. But anyway, now, moving along, I wanted to talk about something else that just came up literally within the last couple minutes, and I thought it would be a really good idea to talk about just so that you guys have a heads up. There's not a lot of development on it yet, but like I said, this is kind of more of like a public service announcement. Cron4 just released a little mini article saying that there is a scam alert. So they want people to know that there have been people using care.com to scam families. I don't know if any of you are aware, but care.com is actually a website that you can go to and you put in your information, you can put in your information, your availability, and then from there you can go and babysit or nanny or, you know, night sit, date night, whatever, different kids. And you can also log in to care.com as, you know, a mother or father or a family looking for a babysitter. So it's really just like a matchmaking service for nannies and families. That's basically what it is. And if I had a company, I would make that a slogan. So no one can steal that from me because that's actually a really good one. But anyway, I guess they're reporting that the popular website is now being crowded and just slammed with a bunch of scammers. So Gabe Slate actually met with a student who almost fell for the scam and nearly lost a lot of their money. Sometimes what these people will say send me a deposit and then I can go and get you a ticket for this. Like sometimes the people that go on care.com are au pairs, which are like nannies that come from other countries to come here specifically to nanny and live in your home. So that's not good, and that's not what it's all about. So like I said, the story is still developing, so if you guys are interested in that, I would highly recommend that you go to Cron4 and then just look up like tech report care.com or something like that, because Gabe Slate is their tech reporter correspondent. But anyway, moving along from that, something else that I wanted to talk about was, and I'm sure you guys have all heard about it plenty of times, is our drought. California right now is in a terrible drought. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I was really, really, really alarmed by the news that I saw. I think it was either yesterday or the day before. I was watching the news on TV, and they showed the image of, you know, in the Sierra, they always do like a measurement of the snow and how high the snow is each year. And they had a picture that showed, you know, the snow level in 2013, 2014, and now in 2015. 2013, there was some snow. 2014, there was still some snow, but the level was significantly lower. But you could still, like, see that there was a big chunk of snow on the ground. And in 2015, there is absolutely no snow at the Sierra. There is nothing there. It is bone dry. It looks like there's just like a rod sticking out of the ground, because there's no reason for it whatsoever. And what's most alarming too is that when I was watching the press conference, or, you know, the interview that they were doing on TV, I mean, there was no snow surrounding them at all. I mean, not even behind them, like on the mountains that you could look at behind. And sometimes when you're driving up to Tahoe, you're like, oh, there's no snow here. But if I look up, there's a little bit of snow up at the top. There was nothing there, which is just really scary, because, like I said, we've been hearing for like the last 2 years, like, oh, we need rain, we need rain. This last year alone, we've gotten really into like, we need rain. But for some reason, everyone's always like, oh, California has the best weather. California is so amazing. California is so sunny and pretty, which, by the way, I agree. It is sunny and amazing. But we have to recognize that our weather is significantly impacting the way that we're going to be consuming our water now. Because, I mean, as a kid, I remember I was always just, you know, oh, you're thirsty? Go to the tap. Go turn on the sink and grab a little cup of water. It's not that big of a deal. And that's how it was. And now, you might not be able to do that for much longer. And the funny thing is that before I even read this article that was discussing the drought and how it's specifically affecting the Bay Area now, my boyfriend, like maybe over this weekend, he poured himself a glass of water from our tap. And he was like, did you wash this cup? And I'm like, yeah, why wouldn't I have washed the cup? And he was like, it tastes really metallic-y, like chlorine. And I'm like, I don't even have chlorine in the house. Like, how? That makes absolutely no sense. The cup is clean. Like, just drink the water. Like, just hydrate yourself and be quiet. And he drank it, and he kept telling me that it tasted weird, and I really didn't believe him. And then the funniest thing was, like I said, a couple of days later, news reports start to come out. Like, oh, East Bay, have you realized your water tastes different? Or, oh, San Francisco Bay Area, have you tasted a different metallic taste in the water? And I'm like, are you really? Really now? Like, here I was thinking that he was absolutely delusional and clueless, because I'm like, you're tasting nothing on your palate. I'm drinking the same water and I'm quite all right. But no, it wasn't nothing. I mean, it was real. He was right. So now it has come out that San Francisco's water, especially in the East Bay, I mean, our water as a whole in the whole San Francisco Bay Area might not be drinkable. But right now in the East Bay especially, it's even worse. So like the metallic taste that they're experiencing is worse than in the North Bay and Marin County. So if I were you guys, I would enjoy the water while you can before it gets worse. I was reading an article that was discussing it, and it says, you know, for the first time ever, the East Bay residents really noticed this bitter, bitter taste in their tap water this past weekend, which, like I said, was so weird, because when did my boyfriend complain about the water? This past weekend. And we live in the North Bay, which is, again, why I'm a little confused as to why this is only concerning the East Bay, because it is trickling into the North Bay waters. But, you know, that's just politics of news sometimes, I guess. Let's not get into that. But anyway, so this article was talking about it, and they were saying that sometimes it takes about 2 days or so for the water to make its way from the Pardee Reservoir, which is where our water is being held, to the Bay Area. And that when, you know, the water was actually able to make its way down to us, there were tons of emails that were going to, I don't know whoever the head of the water district is or whatever, but there were tons of emails being passed by, and there were tons of tweets talking about the weird, weird taste that they were, you know, residents were tasting. And on top of that, there's a really bad smell that comes out of their tap when they turn on their water. Like I said, I haven't experienced the smell thing in my own kitchen, but apparently a lot of East Bay residents are experiencing this. I would be really curious as to what you're experiencing. And I would recommend that if you live in the East Bay and you taste something weird, write a note, write a letter, write an email. I mean, it's so wrong that there was nothing said prior to this happening, because best believe I'm sure that there are water districts in this area, in this county, or in, you know, Contra Costa County, which is a county in the East Bay, that had knowledge that this could be a problem, or that, you know, our water levels depleting could affect the water that we are intaking. It's kind of common sense, to be honest, but out of sight, out of mind type of deal. And because people don't see the drop in our water levels in our reservoir, maybe they aren't connecting it. I mean, I know we obviously don't see any rain, but we also don't see the levels that are changing. We just know it's happening. So that's just my personal opinion. But anyway, the East Bay Municipal Utilities District has now reported that the effects of this are, you know, going to be affecting about 1 million customers. So about 1 million customers that are consuming water are going to be affected by this weird, weird, metallic-y, smelly-tasting water. But in response to the complaints, the EBMUD, that is quite the mouthful, East Bay Municipal Utilities District, which is also known as the EBMUD. Try saying that 6 times fast. Anyway, they said that it usually draws their water from the lower elevation valves at the Party Reservoir, but this past Thursday, March 26th, staff began drawing water supplies from higher elevation valves. So that operational change that was made was in order to meet the requirements to preserve the cold water that's deeper in the reservoir that they have. So basically, they wanted to go and preserve the really, really cold, the deep water. So they started taking samples of the higher elevation water. But if you think about it, the water that's at the very top of, you know, okay, let's say you have a jug. The water at the top of the jug is going to be more affected by the sun than the water at the bottom of the jug, because the water at the bottom of the jug is safe and sound all the way at the bottom and won't get as much heat. So, you know, just keep the jug in mind when you're thinking about, like, the reservoir levels. The water that's at the very, very bottom of the reservoir that can, you know, be taken out and filtered would probably be less affected than the water at the top of the reservoir that is being hit by tons of sun, tons of bugs, tons of, you know, everything. There's just, it's more contaminated than what's underneath. So that's something else to keep in mind when you're thinking about the water that you're drinking and when you're wasting water. I mean, if you have a water bottle, drink your water. Don't just throw it out, you know, don't waste it. Don't turn on your shower for 10 minutes and then get in after it's been on for 10 minutes and running. Like, you don't want to go and waste unnecessary water when our state is suffering as a whole. And not just that, but I mean, even though we live right at the San Francisco Bay, we have the bay right next to us, you can't just go into the bay and scoop up a cup of water and drink it. It's salt water. So, I mean, I think people really need to keep in mind that even though we live close to a body of water, that doesn't necessarily mean that we have an abundant supply of it, because we don't. So that was something else to keep in mind. And actually, a spokesperson for EBMUD, her name is Abby Figueroa, said that if the drought continues and we don't find any other options, this is a problem that is going to come back. So she actually went on to say, with our dwindling water supply, there are going to be other effects of the drought. This is one of them. So this is just the first thing that we're experiencing with this drought. And yet people aren't thinking to save water. I mean, I think it was last week, maybe it was the week before that, I reported on how a cathedral in San Francisco had implemented, oh, this is so irritating. They literally went and put in a sprinkler system or a water system in their establishment so that they could go and deter the homeless people from sleeping in their halls. I mean, that was ridiculous. And on top of that, it was illegal. They didn't get any city permission from it. They didn't have any permits to do that. I mean, it was absolutely, completely, and totally 100% illegal for this cathedral to do this. And like on top, like what I said, on top of it, it's during a drought. Like, we need to save all the water we can. And here's this building, a church, mind you, doing one, something illegal, 2, wasting water, and 3, wasting water on homeless people that can't afford a home. And might I add that they're doing this in the city, so if you've ever been to San Francisco and you know how cold it gets at 9 o'clock, doesn't matter what time of year it is, it's extremely cold. So if you're wet, I can't even imagine what that type of like weather would be like for you, or what the combination of it and how it would affect you, but it's not okay. And more than anything, I mean, like I said, they should be conserving water. So people, especially businesses, big businesses, you need to start doing something about the water consumption, because unfortunately, all of the people that are going to be affected is the community itself. I mean, you're not going to see big businesses take out their, you know, their, what's it called, their water fountains, or, you know, cut back on the business's water consumption as a whole. You're going to see water tax probably go up. And I think I was actually watching something on the news either yesterday or the night before that was talking about that, saying that if the drought continues and if people keep wasting water and we still don't get any more rain, we will unfortunately, we might have to pay more for our water bill might go up. And keep in mind, guys, if you have never paid a PG&E bill in your life, that thing fluctuates and you don't need any more tax added to it than is already added to it. So, I mean, just, we kind of all have to come together as a whole and think about how to make our state and our community, our surrounding area, much better. But anyway, I hope the music is working by now. So I'm going to take a quick break and pray that it is. And if it's not, then I'll come back and we'll finish up with a couple more stories and then we'll be done. So stay tuned. This is News Power Hour with DJ PBR. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu.
Thank you.
And we're coming back. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ PBR with News Power Hour. Normally my show's on from 11 to 12, but like I said, we had some technical difficulties, so I did do my show a little bit later. But for those of you who wanted to listen to it, you can totally find it on the website online, because we normally make our shows a podcast every time. But anyway, gosh, Bob Marley, right on time. I don't know about you guys, but I love me some Bob Marley, and I actually really like that song. It always kind of mellows me out and calms me down and just, you know, relaxes me, which I can definitely use every now and then, since I tend to be kind of anxious and super stressed out since graduation is like, God, I think like a month and a half away or something like that. Oh, anyway, like I said, moving along, I hope you guys liked that song just as much as me. I was literally like humming along to it singing, and I almost want to like keep singing, but I don't want to publicly embarrass myself by having all of you hear me sing, because that's not pretty. but I thought it would be really cool to talk about a cool story that I found actually on Facebook before any news stations picked up on it. So that was pretty cool. I was on Facebook, I think last week, and I saw this post that, again, was going viral. Same thing as always. There's always some post going viral. And it was this mom who had actually made a public apology to a community Facebook page. I'm assuming it was like, I don't know if it was her neighborhood's Facebook or like her town's Facebook, but it was a community Facebook page for where she was living. And she was basically apologizing for, she wasn't basically, she was. She was apologizing for her daughter's disrespectful and blatantly rude behavior to a mother at a movie theater. So I guess what had happened was that this girl's daughter had gone to the movies with her little, I don't know if it was with her little brother, or I can't really remember, actually. The kid went to the movie theaters with, I think, either her sister or a friend and her little brother. They all went and saw the movie. It was all fine and dandy. When the mom went to pick them up, she asked her son, you know, like, how was the movie? And unfortunately for the little girl, her brother was extremely honest and told, you know, his mom, you know, sister wasn't that nice. She was kind of being rude and just being a brat, for the lack of a better term. And the mom was a little confused, because she didn't obviously expect her child to be, you know, that kid, you know, the one that you hate in movies, the one that is kicking at the seat and making a lot of noise and keeps talking and has their phone lighting up and just that kid. Yeah, she was like, no. We have to, there has to be a problem. We can't be talking about the same daughter here. And, you know, the son was like, nope, this happened. So mom went online and she wrote on this community post and was like, oh, you know, I would like to apologize for my daughter's behavior, blah, 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 blah. Like, if anyone, you know, if this reaches you or if anyone knows who you were, please tell me, because my daughter would love to take your family out to the movies. And the backstory behind this was that I guess the other woman had gone to the movies with her kids. And the other mother had asked the little girl, you know, can you please be quiet? We're trying to watch a movie. Little girl didn't want to be quiet. Little girl wanted to keep being obnoxious. And at the end, the other woman had walked out and she walked up to the kids and she told the girl, you know, you ruined our movie for us. My husband recently lost his job and we are not going to be going to the movies for a while. And you ruined this for us. And I don't know if you guys remember, but like back in the 90s, movie tickets were like, I mean, super cheap. I think I kid you not, I think I remember going and seeing a movie like matinee with my dad for like $4. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I'm pretty sure my dad paid like $4 for me to see a matinee with him one time. And then I do remember for sure, I'm absolutely 100% positive, that there was a time that movie tickets were like $7.25. That's not how it is anymore. And nowadays, like, it's like $20. As an adult to go, I'm pretty sure that every time I've gone, it's literally $22 or $24. Either way, it's ridiculously expensive. And so this little girl totally ruined the experience that this mother was trying to, you know, have with her own children, so that they could enjoy one last movie before they were stuck to budgeting every single penny due to the fact that her husband unfortunately lost his job, which can be stressful and really sad for any family to know that they're going to be, you know, financially struggling with something like that. And this mother was just appalled that her daughter would inflict such disrespect and pain on an innocent family. But this story actually has a really happy ending. The mother was able to contact the other mother, and they were able to get in contact with one another. And she actually now is going to go to the movies, and it's going to be the little girl's treat. The mom with the daughter had actually posted online saying, you know, if this is able to reach you, I would really appreciate it, because my daughter, they're being punished the way that they should be punished, and they would love to take some of their allowance money to pay for you guys to go to the movies. So that's exactly what happened. The woman had had her daughters write apology letters, and then they had to collect money from their allowances and give it to the other family. So, I mean, that parenting, you're doing it right. That is definitely the way to go. I mean, and it's nice to see how social media can positively affect somebody, because there are a lot of times that you like see like stupid posts online or like nonsense of like celebrities that you don't really need to see or let alone care about. But this type of stuff is actually really nice, especially, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but there are some spoiled bratty kids out there, and you're just wondering like, where are your parents? What are they doing with themselves? And why are you not less of a brat? And I love kids. I love kids, but like I said, there are just some out there I'm a little iffy about. But this I think she did a really good job. And like I said, it was before the news stories even picked up. So now KTVU, I think, wrote about it or posted on it. I think ABC posted something on it too. And actually, KTVU's headline for the story itself was, "Mom's Facebook Apology Has a Fairy Tale Ending," which was really nice. Oh, and I forgot to mention where this was. It actually happened in Birmingham, Alabama. So it was kind of a ways from here. But yeah, I guess it was, you know, it all turned out. And they had gone to see Cinderella. So that's where the fairy tale ending had come from in terms of how they had associated that with the headline. The kids had gone to see Cinderella, and this is where the whole thing happened. Aside from that, I also wanted to talk about something else that happened this week. Yesterday was the 31st of March, which marks the 20-year anniversary of Selena's death. Selena Quintanilla Perez was a singer. She was a Mexican singer who actually sang in Spanish and in English, although a lot of people don't know this. She was kind of like seen as the queen before queens really started, I think. I was only 4 years old. Or 3 years old when she passed away. But I still remember crying like a baby when she passed away. I still remember how upset I was. I was like, oh my God, I'm never going to meet her. Like literally all I dreamt about was meeting her. I still remember all of the lyrics to her songs, and it's been 20 years. So if that's any inkling as to what a big influence this woman was, I mean, she won some Grammys. She was big. She was really big, especially for the Latin community. And yesterday was, like I said, the 20-year mark of her assassination. She was actually murdered by one of her people. It was a woman that she trusted that was a part of her team. And unfortunately, she went and she shot and killed Selena one night. And it's really nice to see that people are still covering it. Yesterday, there were a lot of little mini stories. Not so much on English channels, just because, like I said, she was really big in the Latin culture, although she did release a CD in English. That was totally, you know, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of it, but Thinking of You is a really, really big popular song. If you've never heard of it, I highly recommend. And a lot of people forget that Selena actually had a movie, and Selena was played by Jennifer Lopez. This movie came out, I believe, in the 90s, and J-Lo, Miss J-Lo, she played Selena, and it was done beautifully. It's a really, really good movie. I bought it. I have it. I own it. I watch it. So if you guys have never seen that, I would highly recommend. And one of the things that I enjoyed too, like I said, was even though it wasn't covered very much by like live news stations in English, it was spoken about a little bit on Spanish channels. And you did see news articles online. Yahoo News actually posted something about it, talking about her dad. Her dad, I guess, had some mixed emotions. The headline read, "Selena's dad, mixed feelings about fans marking star's death," which I could understand. It, like I said, it was a really traumatic event for not just the family, not just the fans, but the entire Latin community as a whole, because this woman was just so strong and influential and powerful, not because of her money or because of her success, but literally the person that she was made her a powerhouse. Like, she was a good-hearted person. And every single year, her fans always remember her. It's not like there's something being done by a company. It's literally just fans flooding the internet talking about, oh my gosh, this is when this happened. So I can empathize with the family and understand why that would, you know, be hard. But like I said, she was kind of the queen before the queen. She was known as the Queen of Tejano, which is a style of music. And if you've never heard it, I highly recommend you guys got to listen to her songs. And even if you don't speak Spanish, if you put on one of those Spanish songs, it will get you in such a hyped up good mood that you'll be like, oh yeah, okay, I can get through the rest of my day with this. So anyway, that was something else I wanted to touch on just a little bit. And something else that I wanted to touch on that I think is really, really cool and a nice way to kind of end the show is the Oakland A's are having a Pride Night. And what that is basically, if you guys are from the Bay Area, Pride is really big around here. It's just advocating for LGBT community and, you know, equality for all, whether you're gay, whether you're lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, asexual, transsexual, I mean, any type, really anything. It's just, you know, being open and being honest and being accepting and loving to people that are different from yourself. And I guess there was some outrage over the fact that Oakland was going to host a Pride Night. I don't know why. I think that's kind of stupid. I mean, I've lived, born and raised in the Bay Area my entire life, and I've always seen Pride. I've always, you know, heard of the Pride Parade. I've always heard of, you know, the Castro, and like, it's just, it's part of the Bay Area, I feel. Like, I believe that our diversity is what makes the Bay Area so freaking amazing. I think that all the people that come here to see San Francisco and to see the Castro and to see Pride parades make this place amazing. I mean, this whole entire area is literally so diverse and so rich in so many different cultures that I was really surprised to hear that there would actually be people that wanted to hate on it. But then again, I guess that's a little naive of me, because there will always be people hating no matter what you do. I mean, you can do everything right from A to Z and someone's going to tell you that you messed up along some letter. Like, literally, it's just inevitable. There's always going to be someone that's going to find something wrong. And what I liked about this, though, was that even though people came out speaking against Pride Night, I mean, the Oakland A's kind of won up that. They're like, okay, you want to talk crap about this? Let's see how you can handle this one. So the Oakland A's pitcher, Sean Doolittle, and his girlfriend heard about this. And his girlfriend actually offered to buy any unwanted tickets to the team's LGBT Pride Night. So basically, Sean Doolittle, why can I not say his last name? Sean Doolittle and his girlfriend, what was her name? Oh, Irene? I think it's Irene. It was spelled kind of funny, so don't quote me exactly on it, but it was like something like Irene Dolan. I probably butchered her first name. But anyway, she and her boyfriend decided, you know what, if you guys don't want the tickets, we'll buy them from you. And on top of that, they weren't just going to buy them and like take them and waste them. They were going to buy them and donate them. So I thought that was like seriously one of the coolest things. Donnellan actually wrote on her blog that she was disheartened to see a handful of responses on social media from people who, for whatever reason, don't support this night of inclusion and community. And she took effect, you know, personally, of this, because she was really, you know, just her life and the way that she lived, she took personal offense to it. She was raised by two mothers. Her two moms, you know, I mean, she's perfectly okay. She's not a messed up kid. So why would anyone hate on the fact that she has two moms, or that there is such a thing as having two moms? And on top of that, her moms are both diehard A's fans. So like I said, this is actually kind of close to her heart. And she's like, you know what? This doesn't fly with me. And her and Doodle were like, okay, you know what? We'll buy them. So they are actually going to buy, and all the tickets that they've bought, they're going to donate to the Bay Area's local Our Space LGBTQI Community Center, which is for teens and young adults. And on top of that, they actually had a donation fund started on GoFundMe, which is a website online where you can put in, you know, like what your cause is, whether it, you're not, you're trying to pay your medical bill or you're trying to help a friend or pay for a dog's surgery, you know, anything. You can post on this website and you can accept donations from people, whether it's anonymous or not anonymous. And it can be any amount. And they started a GoFundMe page that hit their target really fast, which was $6,000. They hit that within the first day. The first day that they had set up that page, they hit $6,000, which is really cool. And before, she and Doolittle had had a chance to make a matching $3,000 donation. So they had hit $6,000, and they were planning on matching it like throughout the donation process. But because they reached the donation so quickly, they're like, man, okay. So they matched $3,000 to it. And now anything that, you know, overflows, so any money that they have extra left over from purchasing tickets, they're going to go and donate to other LGBTQ groups so that they can attend the June 17th game against the San Diego Padres, which I thought was so cool. So instead of just like taking the money and just donating it to like an organization or group, which would be also just as cool, don't get me wrong, they're doing it again to like for more tickets, for more people, to kind of spread the joy and the love and the unity of the game. Games are supposed to bring people together. You're supposed to be able to bond with someone over your love for a team, your love for a sport, and not necessarily focus on your individual differences or preferences as people. So I think that was a really cool thing, and I'm happy that it was getting news. I'm happy that people were talking about it and that you were hearing it on the radio, you were hearing it on TV, you were hearing it, or I guess seeing it on your phones, I should say, when you see it pass through your newsfeed. So that was really cool. And the best part was that the A's released a statement about the campaign saying, "We are hopeful that the support that has been expressed for the event in the past few days will make it even more successful first year event and demonstrate that the A's organization welcomes and supports the inclusion of all fans." And I think that is perfectly well said. This is the first time that they were hosting the event, and I can't imagine, you know, how the organization themselves, how the A's must have felt knowing that they tried something new and then they were faced with this unexpected and, mind you, my personal opinion, unnecessary backlash. And it didn't stop there, though. So, like, the love that was born from the hate was so much stronger that now all that's being talked about is, oh, my God, look at how cool this is. These people are buying all these tickets and donating them to the LGBTQ community. And now, you know, anything extra, they're going to keep donating more tickets to the LGBT community so we can keep going to games and having fun. I don't know. It's a good feel story. And also, another way to end the show was, I talked last week about WrestleMania. I'm going to give you guys an update. It was amazing. I watched it last Sunday, and I was a little surprised by the ending. I don't want to ruin it for anyone who hasn't watched it yet or is planning on watching it soon. Seth Rollins is not my favorite person, and there was some controversy with that. But big news of that show was the fact that Ronda Rousey made her appearance there. She made a little cameo with The Rock, you know, Dwayne Johnson, that big guy. He's in Fast and the Furious, which, by the way, comes out this weekend. She made her appearance, which was really cool. That's been talked about a lot now. And like I said, The Fast and the Furious is going to be on this weekend. It premieres, I believe, tomorrow. Oh my gosh, we're already in Thursday. So yeah, it premieres tomorrow. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and wrap up my show. It's been a great hour with you guys, or a little less than an hour since our show was a little wacky this morning. But I hope you have a great Good Friday, which is tomorrow. Please remember that we do not have classes. The campus is closed tomorrow for Good Friday. So if you come here, no one will be here, and everything will be locked, so you'll have to go home. And also have a happy Easter. Easter's going to be this Sunday, so get some rest, get some relaxation, family time, good food, good grub, bring leftovers because everyone knows there's nothing better than home cooking. With that being said, I'm about to sign off. You're listening to DJ PBR with News Power Hour on every Thursday from 11 to noon. I'll be here next week from 11 to noon, not from 12:15-ish on. And yeah, anyways, guys, have a great weekend. You're listening to radio.dominican.edu. Stay safe. You know I always loved you, and I always will, baby, I'm back on your side.